We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt, that guy over there, the illustrious, the incomparable Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Ty, I'm great. I was thinking about this week 6 preview show yesterday. We were actually chatting about it because we obviously spend a lot more time on the week's nickname.
Yeah,
always. We do the actual games.
Always.
I really feel like we are in a fantastic place. I know you're going to plug everything we need to plug momentarily. We have a lot to get to, both in terms of games and show stuff. But this is week 6, correct?
That is factually correct, yeah.
We're approaching the halfway point of the season, which means we are either in or about to stick our toes into the waters of knowledge, of data. What we know about teams has become more and more robust. And after last week's absolute bloodbath of ranked teams, of my picks, whatever, I've decided to rethink or underthink in certain instances how I approach previews and picks. And of course, that got me thinking about Love, Ty.
Of course, yeah.
I think I had a pretty good Love run when I was single in New York.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, I got along with a lot of people. I had a great time. You know, you're growing as a person. You're growing in terms of what you're looking for in a relationship.
Hold on. No, I want you to let the piano music just play on its own a little bit. Continue, Dan.
But there came a point every 3 or 4 months that a lovely gal would say to me, Dan, so what are we? Sometimes at a restaurant, sometimes at a park, sometimes in a bedroom.
Hey, now.
And my response was all the time, I don't know. I'm just kind of happy with how things are. And my voice would go up like that.
Yeah.
And then I met Jody with an I.
Yeah, right.
And after a few weeks, I said, I really like hanging out with this gal. And we started making plans to hang out further and further down the road. And
we're still talking about the week 6 nickname, to be clear,
we're
right?
We're still talking about, well, first of all, so what are we?
Right.
Is one of the S's. And then I asked her, I said, I think we should be in a ship.
Ship!
Right? In a ship, as in relationship. And I looked at this week's slate and I said to myself,
is it a ship or Saturday?
Who's shipworthy? Who do I want? Which one of these teams in these matchups do I want to bring home to mom? And that's how I'm approach. I want somebody who has their act together. I want somebody well-rounded. I want somebody without a glaring red flag in my life. I just want a good hang is what I want.
It's a shipper Saturday. Is what
I have shipworthy Saturday, but yeah, well, your mileage may vary.
Well, that was a lot of mileage, if I'm being clear, but...
Or so what are we? So what are we Saturday? Yeah.
No, I think it's all relevant. We are at this point now in week six of the college football season. Hello, welcome. I'm Ty. He's Dan. We're the Solid Verbal. We're a college football podcast, I promise. But we are at this point now where it's a fair question to start looking back at the data we have. We have a month and change worth of college football on-field action that we can evaluate, that we can listen to, that we can open our hearts up to.
Sure.
And now we're going to make some really bad picks as part of this podcast, but
tradition.
We're glad to have you with us. If you would like a Solid Verbal shirt after all that, go on out to solidverbal.com. Most of the smaller sizes are gone.
If you're somebody who likes high rotation shirts and you're looking for a larger size, numbers are dwindling pretty quickly there. So I'd grab them while you can. They're great. I just got mine yesterday.
Oh, did
you? It is soft. Yeah, I got the green one. I'll probably get the cream one as well. But it is real soft. I it actually surprised me because I consider myself to be a bit of an expert. It's a great shirt.
Excellent. Okay. Well, yeah. Go on out to solidverbal.com. Big yellow banner at the top of the page is how you can get yours. Go on out to verballers.com if you're interested in getting this show early. You also get access to our Discord server. You also get access to all of the extra perks that we are offering. We would encourage you, if you like the show, if you want to support the show, verballers.com is the best way you can do that. And finally, last but not least, before we get into shipper, shipworthy Saturday, going out to solidsaturday.com. That is the address for our 11 a.m. Eastern Time Saturday morning live stream to get you prepped and ready and get your day mapped out for kickoff, because it's going to be a big week, Dan. I am fired the hell up.
I have nothing to add to that.
Without further ado, should we just dive in?
Let's do it.
Dan, time, help, I need picks of the week.
Help, I need picks of the week. How'd your picks do last week, by the way? You recall?
Not super.
No.
Good.
No. Not
so, well, look, in fairness, my lock of the week was Maryland, and I read out the Dvorak. I read out the drive chart to make amends to Iowa fans for picking against their team in such dramatic fashion. So, no, that highlighted a pretty down week for me in terms of picks, in terms of emotions with how Oregon looked against Stanford. And look, we all suffer. It's about bouncing back. It's about bouncing back.
I was delinquent in my duties last week. I forgot to issue a window of opportunity. Mm. We have literally had people email in, tweet us, call us, and say, look, I go by this. I did it as a joke when we first started doing it. At the time, had the mysterious day job, trying to balance life with work, with podcast. And it was important. It was essential for me to identify that window of opportunity. Apparently, it is for others as well. Here is what I would say to you in this week six. Week five was nutso. We had a lot of games, at least on paper, that looked very intriguing. I don't know if it quite worked out that way for teams outside of, you know, the Oregon Ducks and Notre Dame Fighting Irish. But
right,
this week, I think you've got one of two options. You can either do your stuff as a normal human early and miss the Red River shootout. May not be into that. You may not care. Or you can go late and miss the Bama A&M game. You can miss Michigan, Nebraska. You can miss Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, LSU, Kentucky. If it were me, if I were going out, I would probably do them early, because I think the nighttime, the nightcap, has many more ingredients for a bit of chaos. I think some strange stuff could happen at night. We're going to talk through all of that, but I'm giving you one of two options, one of two, a little RPO, if you're interested.
Sure. Take it from me. You can miss Virginia Tech, Notre Dame. You can afford to miss. You can afford to miss Michigan, Nebraska. But yeah, I would opt for the later games if you have to accomplish human things on Saturday. But, you know, to each their own.
Let's start at high noon. I mentioned the Red River rivalry, the Red River Showdown. Knee the Red River Shootout. We still call it by its name here on the Solid Verbal. Dan, some stats for all y'all. First off, this is a rivalry, which means...
I mean, you throw those records out. I didn't know if you were being dramatic. Yeah.
I count on you for this kind of
Soundboard
insight.
Saturday, by the way. Soundboard Saturday.
It could be.
Yeah.
Oklahoma has won 6 of the last 8 matchups here. Of those 8, 7 have been one possession games. Mm-hmm. So clearly not an exaggeration to say, hey, this is going to be a close game. I think it will be again. Now, for me personally, I've had a ton of trouble picking Big 12 games this season. So I would say take anything I have to say on this game with a rather serious grain of salt. But it seems fairly obvious to me that the Texas defense has been below average this season. Is that a fair statement?
Definitely. Yeah. We saw Texas Tech, especially with a backup quarterback, throw all over them. And then we saw Zach Evans have his way for stretches last week in the TCU matchup. So I think fair to say probably the lowest unit, the worst part of this game is the Texas defense, especially in the open field, especially at times up front.
At times up front. Yeah. I mean, they're better against the run than the pass, but they're kind of bad at both. And there were hints on the Oklahoma side during that Kansas State win. We talked about it on the recap show that maybe they were starting to come out of their fog. Maybe they were correcting some of what has ailed them through the first couple weeks of the season. It's not there yet, but some right. early indicators that perhaps they're starting to pull out of that. I do think this has the makings of a real shootout, not one in name only. Certainly, if Texas is going to win, how many points do they need to score? 38, Dan?
Against Oklahoma? No. I mean, how many did Nebraska need to score to beat Oklahoma? 27? Like, I think it's high 20s, probably, if you're playing a relatively complete game. Yeah.
Where are you at with this game?
Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm going with the more dependable team that has fewer red flags. If I'm bringing home a team to mom, I'm bringing home Oklahoma right now. Now, I know they're not as explosive on offense as we've gotten used to, and the offensive line isn't where it was, but Texas is going to beat you with Bijan Robinson and whatever comes from Bijan Robinson's success indirectly. So play action, a focus, and stacking the box, whatever. It turns out Oklahoma up front is probably where they're strongest this year. They're making plays up front. They're stopping the run. They're forcing teams to beat them over the top. And it has been difficult for teams to do so. But now Texas has an offense that is perhaps beyond what Oklahoma has seen thus far. But right now, with Oklahoma, with the step they took forward last week against Kansas State on offense, I just think there's less to worry about with Oklahoma, and the Texas defense worries me more than anything about Oklahoma. So I'm going with the Sooners here. I'm going with the Sooners to once again win this game.
I like that pick, and I think the Bijan Robinson comment is on point. I don't think it's a bad game plan if you're Steve Sarkisian.
No, and easier said than done to stop him, for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. I don't think it's a bad game plan at all to just give him the rock 35 times and see what happens. And right. if you can get some level of balance as a result of that, or maybe he goes off. Either way, to start there and adjust is not a bad strategy. If they can do that successfully, if they can play the pass off the run, Casey Thompson's been really good, perhaps they can score with Oklahoma. Because, again, per the SP Plus, which we go by, this mm-hmm. is a top 10 offense right now. Texas has been good on offense. They're just still trying to put it all together. My hesitation with going with Texas here is just what I've been saying. I don't feel like they're a finished product yet. I think right. they can be competitive in this game. I just think Oklahoma may be coming to that point now where they're going to find their rhythm and perhaps there's some value on them. So for me, this game's back and forth most of the way. Ultimately, I think Oklahoma gets a few more stops with their defense. I think they create that separation. And despite all the barking I've done about their offense and not having the big plays,
right?
Even in a muted state, all of their other numbers, their success rates, right? How efficient is the offense actually? They're all still very high. So even mm-hmm. in this state, I see a lot of value in Oklahoma. It may still be a one-score game, but the line is 3.5 in favor of the Sooners. So my first lock of the week.
Lock of the week.
Whoa. Getting off to a hot start here, Dan.
I love it.
Oklahoma minus 3.5. Lock number one of the week.
All right. Yeah, you look on the margins of this matchup. So what Texas's defense has done is they have tightened up some in the red zone. Their turnover margin is not terrible. Oklahoma's is better at this point. If the two big factors per Bill C are turnovers and explosive plays, both generating and stopping, Oklahoma has that advantage. And now Texas special teams has been pretty good. They're not kicking a field goal as well as they have in the past. You know, Dicker the kicker has not been, to me, what he was. But Texas stands a good chance. It's just tough against this Oklahoma team to count on bending but not breaking.
Yeah.
That's my concern here with how Texas has been winning games, which has been impressive, but, you know, a little bit worrisome.
So we agree.
We agree.
Moving on. Also at high noon, this one on ESPN, Arkansas, number 13 in the land, on the road at number 17, Ole Miss. Ole Miss favored by 6.5, Dan. This is sort of a loser's bracket matchup from the games last week when both of them got drilled. Remember, Arkansas lost 37-0 against Georgia on the road. Ole Miss lost 42-21 to Alabama. What really jumped out to me, both in real time and on the watch back, Arkansas was not even competitive in that game against Georgia. Like, not even a hint of competitiveness in that game. They didn't even threaten them. At least Ole Miss had some points. And at least they had a shot at a bit of a backdoor cover. Soundboard Saturday.
Well, I take a slight exception with Ole Miss looking more respectable. Yes, they scored points, but also, yes, they fell behind 35-0, whereas Arkansas fell behind ultimately and finally 37-0. So we're parsing here, but yes, you're absolutely right that at least Ole Miss got on the scoreboard and made some plays on offense where it really didn't seem like Arkansas did. That said, I'm not going to let 1 week against what we think is probably the best defense in America define Arkansas's season. I think there's still more to trust about Arkansas right now against Ole Miss. I still worry, you know, look at what Matt Corral did against Arkansas's defense last year, a nightmare, and he's not going to be nearly as bad this year. But I think there is more to depend on. I trust the line of scrimmage more with Arkansas still. I'm not going to let last week's performance or lack thereof just completely shroud my enthusiasm. I'm going hogs here. Once again, the spread, the latest spread that you have here,
6.5 in favor of Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think Arkansas, and I do worry about 2 straight games on the road. That worries me, the road dogs or road hogs, if you will. I think Arkansas wins this game outright. I really, really do. I'm a hog believer.
Wow.
And I still worry. Ole Miss's defense is still at a point where I believe it to be the worst part of this game. And so in terms of red flags, Arkansas, to me, is more dependable.
Wow. I didn't expect that. Arkansas has been a really good story this year. Do you have the Kings of Texas sound, by the way? Is that at the ready?
I don't. I replaced it.
Hmm.
They have to earn it back. They have to earn their way back to the soundboard.
Look, the wins over Texas and Texas A&M are great. Texas is in transition. A&M is broken. Let's be honest. They're straight up broken. So in the same way I would devalue a win over Clemson or Wisconsin, I think it's fair to think a little less of those 2 Texas wins.
Only a little.
Doesn't diminish the story that Arkansas has had a great season so far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're a top 10 team. They're not now, per the polls, to be fair. But I don't think they're a top 10 caliber team the way they were a week ago. Just don't buy it. And that's fine because I don't buy it for Ole Miss either.
I was going to say, who has Ole Miss beaten where you're like, okay, that has aged really, really
no,
well?
No, I don't either. And look, I was probably singing at that altar more than anybody. That Ole Miss is what I think I said they were the 3rd best team in the SEC. They're a good team. They're 2 really good teams, but maybe a bit overvalued. I think Ole Miss is the better team. They have more firepower on offense. I think they're going to win this game. They're at home. I am not at all confident laying any points, though. And I only think that they're the better team. I'm not entirely sure. So I'm going to go Hogs plus the points. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong here. I could totally see them winning this game outright. I have the same concerns about the Ole Miss defense as you, to be clear. But
sure.
I'm going to go the other direction. I'll say Ole Miss wins. We are in agreement, though, that Arkansas plus the points is the way to go.
Done. We agree once again.
We agree. Moving on. 3:30 CBS. don't know why I did that voice, but number two, Georgia Bulldogs minus 14 and a half on the road at number 18, Auburn. Great win for Auburn, by the way, last week, snapping the 10-game losing streak at LSU. They did it at night. Bo Nix was a warrior, a legend. Came in, did great stuff in the wake of getting benched just a few weeks ago. Meanwhile, Georgia just like, we just talked about what they did to Arkansas. They're 5-0 now. They've outscored their opponents by a 205-23 point margin. Do you have any doubts here that Georgia's going to win this game? Yes or no?
Win the game, like outright?
Win the game outright.
No, I don't have any doubts about that. Now, the quarterback health concerns me, and the multiple ways to win part of Georgia's story this year, it concerns me. They didn't need to throw the ball last week, but like anytime you're relying on your backup quarterback in a tough rivalry spot, the Deep South's oldest rivalry, then, you know, that's something to consider and it's something to think about. But I think it's 100% a letdown spot, even though it's a rivalry game for Auburn after their emotional win in Death Valley last week. The point spread is, it's interesting to me, is right around a couple touchdowns, you said?
14 and a half, yeah. And that's really the question, right? That's really the question for us. On paper, the one matchup for me that is interesting is Auburn's rush defense against the Georgia ground game.
Sure.
Because on paper, again, on paper, Auburn looks good enough to slow them down for a while.
Yeah, they did a good job against Penn State, though Penn State hasn't really been able to run impressively against anybody, and LSU has not been able to rush impressively against anybody, and so it's hard to really know what we have in Auburn's front right now.
Yeah.
But they've performed like they should perform against teams who have struggled to run it consistently. I'm not going to overthink this one. I think Georgia is considerably better. The prospect of Bo Nix throwing into this Georgia defense without high-level receivers available to him, like they've had these past few years at times, that kind of stuff might work against a Mickey Mouse organization like the LSU defense. I don't see it against Georgia.
No.
So this is like my underthinking pick of the week. I think Auburn is fine. I think Auburn is interesting. I think there's talent at spots. I think they're gutty. You need dudes against Georgia. And so I think Georgia wins this by, 17 to 21 points.
And, you know, I think Auburn's better than last year. I feel better about Auburn. I feel like they are more consistent than they were a year ago under Gus Malzahn.
But what is it about this year's Auburn team that, like the LSU win, that cements that feeling for you?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
That was a big road win.
Sure.
Bo Nix to put in the kind of game he put in is mighty impressive. So yeah, I feel like they're a little bit more dependable, and I just feel like maybe Brian Harsin in a short time there has raised the floor a little bit, which is kind of the theme of this podcast, right? That's what we're going for today on Shipworthy Shipwreck Saturday, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
My issue with the point spread is exactly what you said. I don't want to overthink it. I like where Auburn's at. I think directionally they're going to a good place. Right now it's an above average offense, slightly above average offense. And in order to cover a 14 and a half number against a team like Georgia over 60 minutes, you got to do something on offense. Nobody's done anything on Georgia's defense.
Yeah.
Especially to cover this kind of number. So I'm out on Auburn for this game for this week, and I'm going Georgia minus whatever.
Last year, obviously, the game was in Athens. Was the final score 28-6 against an Auburn team that you just called? You said this year's team is already better than last year. Okay. So how much better than 6 points?
Yeah.
Now, this is away, so you want to add 3 for playing the game in Jordan Herr. So that's 9. How much better against what might be a better Georgia defense this year?
I mean, maybe a touchdown.
Okay, so you have them scoring 16 points.
Yeah.
So, which brings us to our original point is, how good is Auburn's defense? To what extent can they confuse what we think is going to be Stetson Bennett? And Derek Mason has done a good job thus far of really making quarterbacks think for that extra couple seconds. So, can Auburn's defense confuse the passing game and force mistakes or quick three and outs, stuff like that, against Georgia, who we think Auburn's defense is going to make Georgia's offense work a little harder than Arkansas's did. So that the extent is the question. And I think Georgia will figure it out. I do too.
We agree.
Oh, should mention Frank's Alley in Columbus, Georgia. I'm not taking the home dog, but I'm still providing a home dog. Columbus, Georgia, not far from the Auburn campus. Frank's Alley is your hot dog, your home dog there.
4 p.m. on Fox. This is the showpiece, Dan of the weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my Gus Johnson voice. Ha ha!
Ha ha!
Penn State, number 4 in the land, on the road at Iowa. Iowa's a 2.5-point favorite at time of recording. I'm actually kind of hoping this one bumps up to 3. I got my eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a real life better, but showpiece of the weekend, no doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
I was at this game in 2004. I still have PTSD to this day.
What was it, 5-4? Six. What was the final?
6-4.
Mm-hmm.
I have never fully recovered from that experience. I will admit, I am biased. It does shade how I pick this game every year. The other thing that I should mention, I have been chatting with a couple Penn State Verballers on our Discord at verballers.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. And one comment that really resonated with me is that this game never makes any sense. Never makes any sense. Whatever you think, you know, there are going to be at least 3 takeaways from this game that come as a total surprise.
Right.
Point spread here is Iowa -2, -2.5. Where are you at here?
It's a really tough one. And game day's at Texas, Oklahoma, I believe, right?
Yep.
Iowa City probably should have gotten game day. Whatever. Solid Saturday is everywhere. I would love to take Iowa. They are a home team in a big matchup as a favorite. And you're saying it's 2.5, 3 points?
Yep.
So the feeling is they're even. And Iowa's getting that home field bump-ish. I'm going to go Penn State here. I feel horrible about it. I've been picking against Iowa, though I did pick Iowa against Iowa State. And we have data on both of these teams, right? Penn State has played real teams. They've played Wisconsin. They've played Auburn. Iowa has played Iowa State. They've played Maryland. I consider Maryland to be a real team, and they looked nothing short of excellent. My concern is, if Penn State does not turn the ball over against Iowa, That's it. If they just don't turn it over, that's probably the best thing anybody can do against this terrific Iowa defense. If they don't turn it over, and Iowa needs to drive the field 4 times to score touchdowns, can they? Can they score 28 points needing to drive between 60 and 80 yards?
Right.
Now, that's a big if, because the defense is so good that it does force turnovers and takes advantage of short fields. In my comparison about dependability and red flags, Iowa's offense and Spencer Petras is still a red flag to me. Now, I might go down saying this every week and watch Iowa go 12-0. I'm prepared to do that. But at this moment, Penn State seems just a little bit more complete to me. Iowa's defense is giving me that wild time late at night, Ty. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
It's all you talk about off camera, off
all
mic.
All the time, yeah.
But I worry about Iowa's offense sitting down at dinner with the extended family and running out of things to talk about. I'm going Penn State here to win this game.
I like
the dependability of Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington. I like the dependability and growth of Sean Clifford right now over the dependability of Spencer Petras.
It's a new Cliff
matchup.
It's a new Cliff.
I'm ready to regret it. I understand the potential of a red here. I'm going the fewer red flags route here. That's what I'm doing.
Well,
committing to the bit.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
And I think that jumped out to me too. Iowa's formula has been very simple this year. They're plus 12 in turnover margin.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps, obviously, that number was padded by 7 against Maryland, but they did the same thing against Iowa State earlier in the year, and they beat them. They won that turnover battle, what, 4-0? So playing with a short field has been very advantageous to Iowa. It has also hidden the fact that the offense stinks. It stinks.
Well,
it stinks. Somebody's got to say it. It stinks. It's not
Tyler Goodson at times is awesome.
He's awesome. I said it last week. He's great. He's got moves.
Right. But the offense as a whole.
It stinks.
It's not where it should be, where you'd like an offense of a top five team to be. You're right.
The new school efficiency metrics say that it's number 72 in terms of offense and 114th in success rate. The old school stats like yards per game, total offense, that type of stuff, 116th, which, by the way, is three rungs below Kansas, another offensive juggernaut. The offense stinks. I'm locking up Penn State, Dan.
Lock of the week.
I'm doing it for the second straight week. They are right. Just as good as Iowa on defense. They're much, much better on offense. They have more playmakers, as you alluded. Mm-hmm. The only questions are, A, how can they use the running game? Can they use a running game?
Right.
And B, can we trust Sean Clifford, as you rightfully said, to not turn the ball over?
I hate picking Sean Clifford.
I do too.
Into the teeth of this Iowa defense.
But couldn't you ask the exact same question of Spencer Petras?
You could.
Because if Penn State bears down and they say, we don't want Tyler Goodson to beat us, we want Spencer Petras to beat us.
Yeah, and the strength of this Penn State defense is probably the back end, right?
If you ask the exact same question, if you turn it around on Iowa, how do you feel? Given the fact that the margins in this game are always so very slim.
Right.
You got to take the team getting points, and you got to take the team that's better. So I'm locking up Penn State. I got them winning 26.
Up.
20. Yeah, I'll play it again.
I love it.
Lock of the week.
26-17 is my final score.
Wow. 24-21 Penn State to me. By the way, probably a little bit aggressive on the Iowa offense in terms of scoring offense. Now, granted, it's short fields, which is amazing length. I don't think their passing game is anywhere interesting. They're at least at what I'm seeing is 47th in terms of points per drive. 47th is average. Average. But if you pair an average offense, Ty's holding his nose to the people watching this. If you pair an average offense with an incredible defense, you're going to win a lot of games.
They stink on offense, Dan.
Okay.
Come at me. Fight me. I don't care. They stink on
offense. I love
it.
I love committing to this. I love planting your flag because you're either going to look amazing or Iowa fans can come after you, which is great. We want emotion.
I've had Iowa fans come at me before.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's fine. Yeah. I love Iowa. I do.
They're generally fine.
8:00, CBS, Alabama -18 on the road at A&M. I was online when the line hit on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And when it hit, it was -16.5, and I grabbed it like that. I didn't even have a chance to think about it. It was a total reflex. But Bama just blanked, for the most part, one of the best offenses in college football until we got to garbage time.
Right.
What do you think they're going to do against a team like A&M that is genuinely broken on offense? Do we think that's going to go any better?
Probably not, unless you feel like it's a letdown spot for Bama, which they don't really suffer letdown. So I'm not overthinking this.
No.
I mean, it's Zach Calzada throwing into, you know, having Will Anderson in his face, who is perhaps the most dangerous edge player, he and Kayvon Thibodeau, in the country. Yeah, I don't have good reason. I don't have the Tracy Chapman part of this.
I don't either.
I don't have good reason. I like A&M's defense, but they can only do so much if the offense can't stay on the field. So as much as I've loved and made hay with the home dogs this year, I don't have it for A&M, especially with how they looked at times last week. I'm not there. Hot dogs, wings, etc., by the way, is what I'm seeing in Bryan, Texas, if you are looking for a home dog in this situation.
Yeah.
Nearby Brian.
18's a big number. I still feel like Bama might be undervalued. I don't understand the point in taking A&M with the points. Like, you're going to white knuckle it the whole way through. There are better games to bet. Don't bet this game. If you don't have to, don't bet this game.
It's not a look ahead spot. They're on the road once again against Mississippi State next week, but No, I don't think any of these teams on Alabama's schedule right now are a look ahead spot. So, yeah, you gotta believe, you gotta be Ted Lasso right now,
yeah,
to believe in A&M and their chances with the $9 million man at the top.
Even Ted Lasso knows when to cut his losses.
Did you say did you see that Jimbo has started using the same excuses at A&M as he used at Florida State?
Oh,
I saw
really?
That somewhere, a tweet. Yeah, he was like an inch here, an inch there after A&M's loss to Mississippi State. Apparently, that's something he said at Florida State. So,
okay, great.
Great sign. Thumbs up.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Moving on, let's travel back in time if we could, Dan.
Yeah,
10:30 ESPN, Friday Night Lights. Does this count as Pac-12 After Dark on a Friday?
Absolutely, it does, of course.
Stanford is an 11.5-point underdog on the road at Arizona State. These teams have not played since 2018. The Cardinal has won the last two. If you're ASU, I feel like this is the kind of game you need to win soundly, because you're straight up better. You have a better team.
Right.
I don't know if I trust them. And I picked them. I was very high on ASU. I don't know if I trust them to win it soundly, Dan. I don't. So for that reason, and that reason alone, based on no actual analysis, I don't trust them. That is the theme of this week. Shipper Saturday, whatever we're calling it. I am taking Stanford plus the points, because I do not trust Arizona State, a team that I was very, very high on like a month ago.
Did ASU not just blow out UCLA on the road?
But they did. Do you trust them?
No, but I don't. I trust Stanford even less. Stanford, in every phase, tried to give the game to a woefully disappointing Oregon team last week. And somehow they wrestled victory out of the jaws of defeat, thanks to I'm not doing it anymore. Stanford's not that good. Stanford's just not that good. ASU.
And how they beat Oregon?
Oregon's not that good either. They were at home.
Fair. Fair point.
In a half-empty stadium.
That was really bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was so bad. I trust ASU more than I trust Stanford on the road, for sure. I think ASU is fine. I think they're flawed, but I think they're fine. So, yeah, I think they can win this game by a couple touchdowns. It's a letdown spot for Stanford going out on the road. They're beat up still. They're absolutely beat up. I'm going ASU here. I feel fine. I'm not overthinking this. They have the better quarterback. They have the better skill talent. They have the better defensive front. They're a much havockier defense. Yeah, everything points to me to ASU. I'm not overthinking.
I'm going Stanford, man. I don't trust ASU.
All right, have fun.
12 o'clock, Saturday, FS1, West Virginia. On the road at Baylor. Baylor favored by 3. I have no lean here. None whatsoever. I don't know what to make of West Virginia at this point.
They're okay. They're going to jump up and get somebody. Could it be Baylor a week after Oklahoma State? Of course. I'm just going to stick with the home team. I'm not going to overthink it. Also, this could be a terrible football game to watch. I would not encourage anybody to watch this game, but Baylor minus -3. That's the deepest analysis I can provide here.
Oh, I'm going Baylor as well. It's in Waco. I don't like West Virginia's offense all that much. I don't like the consistency or lack thereof, I guess, of West Virginia. Like, they don't pop big plays. They don't have dudes to me consistently, once again. They can't control the line of scrimmage all that often. And I think Baylor's just playing with more joie de vivre.
Joie de vivre.
So give me the Bears here. I think they're playing with a little more energy. I like the pieces. I like both sides of the ball more. And I like their ceiling more. And they're at home. So, yeah, I'm going Baylor.
Let's go to 12 o'clock, Big Ten Network, number 11, Michigan State, minus -4.5 now on the road at Rutgers. A curiously low line, Dan. We are the Sparty Super Network, as we lovingly mentioned on the Solid Saturday live stream broadcast. But is Vegas trying to tell us something here, Daniel?
Maybe. By the way, destination dogs for hot dogs in the Piscataway area looks really, really strong. No, I'm not going to overthink it. I think Michigan State's better. I think Rutgers' offense is largely abysmal. And so, yeah, it seems like a low line. But again, underthinking it. Michigan State's better.
We agree. We are in agreement, Dan. 12 o'clock, Fox, another Big Ten game. Maryland on the road at Ohio State. Ohio State favored by 21. These teams have played 6 times. Ohio State's won all 6. The last time was a 73-14 thrashing back in 2019. Got two different teams now,
right?
In 21, but obviously not different enough to bring that point spread under 21. So what do we make of Maryland going into this game? 7 turnovers against Iowa a week ago. How do they fare against Ohio State?
I think Maryland covers this spread. I think there's value here in looking at this spread at 21 points and thinking to yourself, well, Ohio State has it figured out because of what they did to Rutgers. I don't think that's fully true. I think Maryland should be able to move the ball some against Ohio State. Not a lot, but some. I don't think they're going to make the mistakes against this Ohio State defense that they made against Iowa. And I know that they're beat up at receiver, Demas, and whatever. That was a bummer last week against Iowa. But I think Maryland's good enough, and I still have questions about Ohio State against a decent team. So I think Ohio State ends up winning this game comfortably, 16, 17, 18 points, something in there. But I'm going to take those points because I'm still a believer in the Maryland value.
Maryland value, I'm going Ohio State.
That's fine.
I'm going Ohio State. But I want to take Maryland. I really do want to take Maryland here. I just don't have a good reason to do it.
Sure.
3:30, ABC. Boise State at number 10, BYU. BYU favored by 5.5.
Yeah, concerning given we don't know who's playing quarterback for BYU.
Don't
right
know.
Now.
Yeah, have not seen an update on Jaron Hall, the quarterback, if he'll be
Baylor
back.
Baylor Romney got hurt. Yep.
To play in this game, right? I think I might be done with Boise. I think I might be done
for
with
this
them.
Year or just in general?
No, just existence. This year. I like Boise. But I like BYU. I know they've got a potential look ahead to the
right.
Jeff Grimes Bowl next week against Baylor. Everyone's talking about the Jeff Grimes Bowl, of course. But I like Tyler Allgeier to have a big game here. I think
it's a good matchup.
Yeah, I think there's a great opportunity for him to run on this Boise defense. And by the way, a lot of talk now about Cincinnati, rightfully so. BYU's already beaten Arizona State. The next 4 weeks, they've got this Boise
BYU's game. BYU's beaten like 9 Pac-12 teams. Yeah.
They've got Boise this week. They're at Baylor next week. They've got a road game against Wazoo. They also play Virginia, and they close out the year at USC.
Right.
And they're ranked 10th. Am I making the case for BYU in the playoff? Not really. But don't sleep on BYU. They're a pretty good team, and they're playing good competition. They're not playing cream puffs.
Also, this train's pulling into the Elevation Station. So,
is it? I
mean, Boise's at like 2,000, but obviously Provo a good deal higher. So there's that part of things as well. Yeah, I'm going BYU, even without certainty at quarterback. I don't you know, in what I've seen of Boise State, I don't know what they do particularly well. I like Bachmeier. I like the ability to throw the ball. They're okay, but they're not doing a ton. You can push them around up front, which is why you mentioned the Algier thing and being a good matchup for BYU. Yeah, I'm taking the Cougars here. Agree.
330 ESPN 2, Wake Forest, number 19 in the land, undefeated, 6.5 points, the favorite on the road at Syracuse. Dan, which way are you going?
I'm going Syracuse lock of the week.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
I am positive.
Lock of the week.
Besmirching the good name of Dave Clawson and the Demon Deacons, going lock of the week, Syracuse. Why?
Syracuse is running the ball fine. Their defense is pretty good against the pass, which is where I think Wake has really made hay this year. Up front, they're not great against the run, but they've prevented some bigger plays. And Syracuse on defense, especially up front, has made plays. And the game's at home, Ty. They're not just a home dog, Ty. You know this. Where do they play?
Play the Carrier Dome.
And what do we know, Ty?
The Carrier Dome is where teams go to die.
I'm sorry, we're talking about an undefeated Wake team with grand designs of being undefeated in November going to the Carrier Dome in October against a team with a good defense in a difficult, weird place to play. Do I need to remind you once again?
The Carrier Dome is where teams go to die.
Is that the voice from Saw? What is that?
I've been downloading a bunch of plugins.
It sounds like the voice from Jackbox Games, if anybody's ever played the murder mystery game on there.
Yeah. And Syracuse, obviously disappointing last week, last second to Florida State. Yeah, I'm going Cuse here, baby. I feel good.
I am also going Syracuse here. Carrier Dome, a very weird place to play. Wake is not good against the run. You're right to point out that Cuse has been decent on the ground, especially now that they've made the move to Garrett Schrader, the transfer quarterback who runs a lot more. I've got Wake winning by 3, but it's like a weird getaway game in the Carrier Dome. They go into a bye week next week. Cuse, by the way, is playing host to Clemson next week, which could be a fun one to talk about, but let's go Cuse plus the points. I agree.
Should also point out that Syracuse beat Liberty, who may have one of the best, I don't know, 4 or 5 quarterbacks in the country.
It's true. They don't have Sam Hartman, but...
They don't have Sam Hartman, but in terms of if we're going to stick with secretly decent like we did with Pitt, is Syracuse secretly decent?
They are secretly decent.
Not great.
Secretly good value on the Cuse right now. Very good value.
I don't know. Home dog, weird place. Carrier Dome, come on.
All right. 7 p.m. ESPN, TCU minus 1.5 at Texas Tech. I'm going Tech, and here is why.
Okay.
I was perfectly content to go Texas minus 4 last week. You talked me out of it.
Sure.
You talked me out of a win.
No, did I? I didn't talk you out of it. I just disagreed with you.
TCU has their number, and they would have beaten them.
I remember.
I would have won if not for that crap. Throw it out the window. I stand by what I said last week. TCU has a terrible defense. Tech is low-key a tough out. Speaking of secretly decent. They're at 4 wins now. Practically speaking, they're basically 1 win away from going to a bowl because they play Kansas next week. Texas Tech outright.
Texas Tech outright. You think they're the more dependable team?
None of these teams are dependable. It's the Big 12.
Well, I'm saying between Tech and TCU.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Yes, especially at home.
They are the more dependable team.
Yeah.
I hate to agree, Ty. I think I agree. The game's in Lubbock. TCU coming off of a letdown, almost win against Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm going, even with a backup quarterback, I think Texas Tech up front has shown me enough that if they're able to at least manage Zach Evans in the TCU rushing attack, I don't know what that out pitch is for the Frogs. So,
No.
I'm going with the Matadors here.
7:30, ABC, number 9, Michigan, minus 3 on the road at Nebraska. Okay. So, this is a very interesting spot for Michigan. They beat Wisconsin by 21 on the road. They catapult into the top 10. Now on the road for a night game against Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps a little bit of a letdown effect.
Open face look ahead as well.
I want to pick Nebraska.
Do it.
I really do.
Do it.
Because I am tired of everybody dunking on them. It's just not cool.
5-1 against the spread.
But you got to give me something more than Adrian Martinez and a decent defense. I know that's your formula. I know you're going to pick Nebraska. I know.
Did they stomp Northwestern on the ground last week?
You got to give me something other than Adrian Martinez and a respectable defense.
I mean, how many? Raise your hand if you're okay with your team having a pretty good quarterback and a really good defense.
Is he pretty good quarterback?
I think he's pretty good. I don't think he's amazing. He's pretty good.
He's all they have. That's why the numbers are there. Okay. I don't know if he's pretty good.
40th best passing attack in America right now. That's fine.
I'm sure there's a great hot dog place in Lincoln that you're about to tell us about.
Fly Dogs with a Z. Continue.
But I need that off-speed pitch. I need something different. So I'm going to go Michigan. And while we're at it, am I the only one who gets confused every week that Nebraska's got another quarterback by the name of Martinez?
Yes, you might be the only one, but I appreciate your confusion.
Every week I'm typing down Taylor Martinez. Every week I do it, and I have to correct myself.
The really worrisome matchup, because I'd like to go with the more dependable team in all of these games, Ty, but sometimes you catch somebody's eye across the room and you think to myself, could be a wild night.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you got to go with your belief system sometimes. Sometimes. And a home dog with a good defense in a difficult place to play at night. Now, the matchup that terrifies me is Michigan's pass rush against Nebraska's offensive line. That is terrifying, especially Aiden Hutchinson. But I'm going to roll those dice, Ty. I'm going to roll those dice and go with Nebraska as my home dog of the week. I know you have a sound.
The Yakko's home dog of the week.
You got to live a little bit sometimes.
You do.
You got to make your heart beat. You got to make the goosebumps stand at attention on your arms. Let the hair stand up.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do with Nebraska. I think Vegas has undervalued the Huskers after that week one loss against Illinois. Again, 5-1 against the spread.
Yep.
Pretty good number.
Yep.
So as a home dog believer, I'm going with Big Red. I am. Sorry.
I can't do it. I admire the pick. I admire the pick. Could I interest you in a different home dog?
Sure.
The Yakko's home dog of the week.
Maybe stop on by the hot dog house, very literally named, or Sam's hot dog stand in the great town of Blacksburg, Virginia.
That's what I have here as well.
Yeah. 7:30 ACC Network. Virginia Tech's a 1-point dog against Notre Dame. They're my home dog of the week. The funny thing about Tech, if you look at their schedule, just kind of remove yourself from reality for a second, just live in the moment. If you look at Virginia Tech's schedule, it is not very difficult to invent a path for them to get to 11-1 this season.
Oh my God, Ty, you're going to give me an aneurysm.
Look at the schedule.
What are you talking about?
Look at the schedule.
Yeah, look at the team.
I'm saying in a vacuum, just look at the schedule.
All right, I'm pulling the schedule up.
Look it up.
Here we go. Let's
go.
Notre Dame, decent chance of losing. Pitt, the class of the ACC, decent chance of losing. Secretly decent Syracuse, decent chance of losing. Georgia Tech, on the road, who's beaten North Carolina, decent shot of losing. Boston College and Jeff Hafley, America's coach, decent shot of losing. Duke, they'll beat. Miami, and we'll see how healthy they are, whatever. But decent shot at losing. It's on the road. Virginia in a rivalry game on the road against one of the better offenses and quarterbacks in the country. Decent shot of losing.
If the coin comes up heads 7 times in a row, I don't know what the odds are. But there are a lot of coin flips there. There's no obvious killers that are going to beat this team.
Right.
It's possible. You could come up with a pathway. They've had a bye week now to prepare for Notre Dame. They get Notre Dame at home at night a week after Notre Dame took its first L of the season. Definite letdown coming here for Notre Dame. I mean, not even a question about it. We also don't know what Notre Dame's doing at quarterback. I haven't seen an update. We're recording this on a Tuesday, so maybe we're a bit ahead of the curve. if I were a betting man, I would probably bet on Drew Pine getting the nod.
Okay.
Don't know if that's something that they will even announce before the game, but all things being said, you got all those Virginia Tech factors plus potentially a Notre Dame quarterback getting his first start of his career in Lane Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot working against Notre Dame. And I don't really like Virginia Tech as a team, to be clear. Okay. But this is just a situational play that feels really good for the Hokies. I think something low scoring. I think it's 24-19. And while we're at it, at least one miss in the kicking game for Jonathan Dorr on the Notre Dame side. Have you been following the plight of Jonathan Dorr so far?
Not even a little.
He is very close. He is tiptoed right up to the line where we start talking about the yips.
Is that true?
He's getting there. Missed an extra point last week. Has had a couple bad misses in the field goal department. That's how you get to 19 points. You miss an extra point. Right. 24-19, Tech wins at home. Bad spot for Notre Dame.
Yeah. Virginia Tech doesn't really do anything well, but they don't actually do anything terribly, whereas Notre Dame does. And that kind of starts at quarterback and offensive line. And so on the road, yeah, I think, you know, maybe a couple false starts, miscommunications. I'm going with Virginia Tech here. I'm going with a home dog as well. And by the way, I did look at Bill C's numbers. There's a 55% chance Virginia Tech either wins 7 or 8 games.
Yeah.
That's where they are at. The odds of winning 11 games are fewer than 1%.
Just saying. So, it's possible.
Or less.
Gotta believe. 1%. Ted Lasso would believe.
I guess so. Next game.
7:30, SEC Network, LSU at number 16. Kentucky, they're favored by 3. Both of LSU's losses have been against mobile quarterbacks. I am not the world's biggest Will Levis fan, but he is back.
He's back, baby.
And Will Levis can check that box, dog. He can check that box. It might be the only box he can reliably check. So I'm taking Kentucky. I'm not going to overthink it.
I'm with you, too. I think LSU, they could be in the midst of a spiral. We saw the tackling issues. We saw the offensive line issues. Kentucky's good enough to win this game. It's 100% a letdown spot. And Vegas is looking at the teams as even. I think there's more to count on about Kentucky right now. So I'm bringing the Cats back home for the holidays, as weird as that is sounding out loud.
And finally, 8 p.m. on Fox, Utah at USC. USC favored by 3 points. The theme of this show has been Shipper Saturday.
Yeah.
The theme of this show has been, who do we bring home to the parents?
Yeah. Did you have a good experience bringing Solid Wife Kate home to meet Mama H for the first time?
I did, yeah.
It wasn't awkward.
No,
like your mom wasn't like interrogating her. Like there wasn't any sort of issue there.
My mom does have an interrogation streak, just not in that initial meeting.
Were there previous situations over interrogating?
No. Mom's known how to behave herself.
I get a weekly email from her saying I'm not good enough for Tyler. A weekly email. I'm just kidding. I love you, Mama H. Yeah.
Where I'm going with this
is
if it is a matter of stability,
mm-hmm.
are you taking Kyle Whittingham or are you taking whatever the USC coaching situation is at the moment?
Well, with Kyle Whittingham comes a rough offense that had a quarterback full on quit the team after a couple of games.
That is also true.
Their Utah's turnover margin is 87th, though they've turned the ball over less with Cam Rising. I mean, look, they've got a couple interesting running backs for sure. The game's where? The game's in L.A. or is it in Salt Lake?
Game's in L.A.
Yeah, okay, so it's not at elevation. USC had impressive performance, especially on the ground against Colorado, which I think is ultimately meaningless. Also, I did see just a bummer of a time, I'm sure. Dante Williams, the USC interim head coach, his father passed away last week. That has nothing to do with how I'm picking this game, but, you know, thoughts and condolences. I'm going to go with Utah here. I'm going to go with Utah to win ugly just because what we've seen of USC has been a lot of down with some up. And I think Utah's a team at the line of scrimmage, even though they haven't been as good on offense up front as we've gotten used to, I still think they're good enough to win this game. So yeah, I'm going Utes here.
That is all I have, Dan, for the
sixth week of this here 2021 season. Any other games jump out to you?
Yeah, actually. So Wyoming's playing Air Force. Wyoming has played nobody. They're 4-0. Air Force is 4-1 and actually being led by a really interesting and fun-looking defense. San Diego State is 4-0 ahead of the New Mexico game. They have a decent shot at going 10-2. Their big challenges are in Air Force and Fresno. Cameron Thomas, by the way, for San Diego State, absolute dude up front. A TFL, a tackle for loss machine. My Roadrunners, Ty.
Meep, meep.
Of UTSA. They're winning with defense and passing. They're not making a lot of mistakes. Sincere McCormick, one of the better running backs that is under the radar in the country. Clarence Hicks has been great on defense. One of the best punting teams in America, UTSA. They have another interesting team who is secretly decent despite what their record says. Western Kentucky, Ty.
The Hilltoppers.
Western Kentucky, that the Toppers have played Army, Indiana, and Michigan State. They're not, which is tough, Ty.
Yeah, it is.
And yet, they have one of the best handfuls of pass offenses. They're just a very prolific team. As somebody who watches a team that features a quarterback who cannot complete downfield passes at all,
all right,
for me to watch Bailey Zappe, that's right, Ty.
Yeah.
His real name, Bailey Zappe.
Zap!
It's from The Simpsons. They're really, really fun, and this game is worth watching. So those are the games that I feel like perhaps we omitted on first glance.
Bailey Zappe, by the way, last week.
Oh, yeah.
Big time losing effort in their game.
Really? I think he's either the nation's most prolific passer in terms of yards per game or something like that, but he has been really, really fun to watch, and I kind of look forward to him grad transferring to somewhere bigger. Sorry.
All right. Shall we put the cherry on the top of this here Soundboard Saturday?
Yeah, Soundboard Saturday. It's time. Just quick favor, if you could drop me some big, stanky, touching, teasing, trailing, titillating, drum and fife.
Here's what we got, Dan. 12:30, Colgate at the Brown Bears. 12:30, not sure what network is carrying this. Can only assume it's going to be major network television. Who you got?
I'm going to go Colgate here. I'm going Gators.
12:30, I'll go Gators as well. 12:30, Bucknell at Lafayette. You know my stance on Bucknell, Dan. I always go against the Nellies. Let's go Yetis. Give me Lafayette playing the home game.
A nice bounce back week for Lafayette. Last week, a heartbreaker, a last second heartbreaker. I'm going Lafayette to bounce back in a big way.
1 p.m. Lehigh on the road traveling south. Short, hop, skip, and a jump down the Northeast Extension. Squaring off against Penn. Lehigh is dead to me for reasons I will not get into on this podcast.
Whoa! Is that true?
There's some local zoning BS going on around here that I'm not too happy
about.
Yeah. Give me Penn. Lehigh's dead. D-E-D. Dead.
I'm going Quakers here. Lehigh, in my numbers, would be a 13.5-point dog to Northampton High School.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm going Quakers here. Shout out Hugh Ma, by the way. My friend Hugh went to Penn, and he developed a really cool app and website for people to get COVID vaccinations in New York very early on.
Nice.
So Hugh Ma, total rock star Penn Quaker.
And finally, 1 p.m., it is Wagner. We'll just assume Billy Wagner on the road. At the Fordham Rams, Dan, New York's one true team. Who you got?
Oh, we go Fordham. We absolutely go Fordham with New York's one true team.
You remember how good Billy Wagner was back in his heyday?
Yes, but did he also give up the home run to Albert Pujols that sailed into Mexico? Was that Billy Wagner or was that another Astros closer? I'm looking this up right now.
Are you thinking of Brad Lidge?
Oh, maybe it was Brad Lidge. Good call.
Yeah.
As we slowly morph into a baseball podcast centered in 2003.
Billy Wagner, lefty closer, was very good. I'm going Fordham here. Got to go Fordham Rams.
I'm trying to think of, man, we need to do a secret podcast that we do no marketing, no promotion, no anything. Almost like our Secret Verbal, which we haven't done all year. Maybe we'll do a Secret Verbal next week.
Next week. We'll do it next week.
And the show is just called The Closers. And it's just us talking about the interesting personalities who have served as closers or relief pitchers, whatever, for baseball teams over the years. We're just like, man, you want to hear some weird Lee Smith stories? This is the show for you.
Let's talk about Antonio Alfonseca and his sixth finger.
Jose Mesa. Yeah.
I'm down,
all sorts
man.
Of guys.
I could hang in that conversation.
I would love that.
All right. If you are out and about this weekend, don't forget to check out the Red Zone channel for college football. It is called the College Football Blitz. It starts every Saturday at noon Eastern on ESPNU Radio, Sirius XM Channel 84, and of course, the Varsity Network app. It is live whip around coverage. Every game in the top 25, you can hear the scoring as it happens, as called by each school's hometown radio crew. Only three commercial breaks every hour, which means 56 minutes of live play-by-play. Dan, who is the host of said broadcast?
Meep, meep. Stevie Speedrun. Stephen Hartzell. Yeah.
Stephen Hartzell. Speedy Steve gives you that live whip-around coverage. Check it out if you are out and on the town, Dan.
Agree.
That's all I got for week 6. Don't forget to go on out to solidverbal.com. Pick up your shirt while supplies last. Also, verballers.com is how you can subscribe to the Patreon and get this show, get all of our shows early, get access to a live stream of the reaction show that we do 10 a.m. Yeah, 10 a.m. Eastern time every Sunday. And also, while we're here, don't forget to go on out to solidsaturday.com, 11 a.m. Eastern time. That is through our YouTube channel. We will walk you through all of the college football action before us in this here week 6.
Yeah, agree. That's all I have.
Enjoy your shipping this Saturday, Daniel.
Shipworthy says. So what are we Saturday? Have you had that conversation before?
Yeah.
Have you been dating somebody for 4 months? Can we secret verbal this person?
No,
have
we're
you
good.
Been dating somebody good. For 3, 4, 5 months, a month, 11 weeks, whatever, and you were not expecting that question to be popped to you? So what are we? You had to. You're an attractive, personable guy.
For that guy over there, my good friend,
no!
Dan Rubenstein, for myself,
oh, man,
Ty Hildebrandt. We'll talk to you all on Friday. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.